ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Completely fearless. not think I have left home and I've been to an outsider. Now who will protect me? How who will protect my dependents? What about my mother and father and wife and children? Or my relatives? Or my grandchild, grandson or granddaughter? One should not worry about these people. Nor should one worry about one's own protection. The meaning of the word abhaya means one should know, even if one is in the midst of a forest, surrounded by lions and tigers and ferocious animals, and in a place where there are no eatables, even in such a place, a person should maintain the faith that the Lord is seated in the heart of Paramatma, and He will protect me, and He is always watching me, and is witnessing the activity of every living entity. So He will give me all protection, I don't need to worry. This is the meaning of abhaya. That's the real meaning of abhaya. So this is the primary quality said of a sannyasi. And in some first asam shuddhi, he says, and there are certain purificatory requirements of sannyasis. One of those is that he should never associate with women, firstly. So, it is said, the example is said of even Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, that when some of his feminine disciples, female disciples wanted to offer prostrate obeisances, they offered from a long distance. They were allowed to come close to him and talk to him. This is not to, it is not male chauvinism or something like that. It is not that he didn't respect the females. It was to show the level of the order of sannyasi, how sannyasi should do, extend respect with respect to dealing with women. In fact, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was once invited by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya to meet the great king Pratap Rudra. You see, the king Pratap Rudra is not ordinary king. In fact, he had a servant, Ramananda Rai, working with him. And when he came to know that Ramananda Rai can meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is getting an opportunity, he gladly sent him. He can go any number of days and I give you pension, money, for those number of days. And you have a nice time with Mahaprabhu. He actually had a complete faith that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is none other than Krishna. He had a complete faith. And he himself was happening to meet him many times. And Ramananda Rai used to talk to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu about this Pratap Rudra. At once, when Mahaprabhu had come to Puri, he wanted to meet him, but Mahaprabhu refused to meet him. He said, I meet his son, but I will not meet him. Then his son was brought, his son was blackish in color, and he had very attractive looking eyes. When Mahaprabhu saw him, he was very much reminded of blackish Krishna, so he embraced his son. And then Mahaprabhu offered his upper cloth garment to Pratap Rudra's son. And then when the son went back to his father, he told him that he met Mahaprabhu, and Mahaprabhu embraced me, and he gave his clothes to me. Then he cried tears, seeing the cloth, and he kept that cloth as a worshipable thing in his house. And everybody used to worship that, like that. So this Pratap Rudra was such a great devotee. Still, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is set an example for all of us. Once when Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya invited Mahaprabhu to come to the palace of Pratap Rudra, you know what he said? The translation goes like this. Prabhupada writes in the translation. He says, alas, I'm greatly lamenting, Lord Chaitanya said, alas, for a person who is eager to cross over this ocean of material existence, for such a person to meet a materialist, a visionary, or a woman, is more dangerous than drinking poison willingly, he said. निश्चिञ्चनस्य भगवन् भजनोन्मुखस्य पारम्परम् जगमिषो भवसागरस्य सन्दर्शनम् विषयीणाम् अथ योष्टाम् च हा हन्त हन्त विषभक्षणतो अपि असाधु हा हन्त हन्त अलासि सर् फर् पर्सन् टु मीट् अ मटीरियलिस्ट् इस् मोर् डेन्जर् देन् ड्रिङ्किङ्ग् पर्सन् विलिङ्ग्लि सर् दट् वास् इस् डिटर्मिनेशन् यु नेवर् मीट् अ मटीरियलिस्ट् यु नेवर् गो अवेर् नियर् मटीरियलिस्ट् आक्चुलि वन् आर् मटीरियलिस्ट् तथा कृत बट् चेत् मास्तु चेत् एक्साम्पल् फार् आल् आफ़् अस् हौ चाट् विश् डु वित् मटीरियलिस्टिक् पीपल् So, this is the kind of a sannyasi, activates purification. One is wealth and the other one is women. The sannyasi should be extremely careful about this. Two things, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said such an example for all of us. In his own life, one Chaitanya Haridas was, once he threw a lusty look on a woman, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected him once and for all. He never ever accepted him. Despite repeated opposition of the Vaishnavas, repeated pleading of the Vaishnavas, he never ever accepted him. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says the same thing, like we were talking about Gaur he should be able to give his valuable association for the benefit of the people in general. So this is a contribution that a sadhu gives to the people. The people in society are the grihasthas. They are supposed to maintain the other three classes of people, namely the brahmacharis, sannyasis, and the lanaprasthas. And what is the contribution a sannyasi should give? In return, that knowledge of spiritual knowledge. That is the contribution that he should give. So when we say parasite, parasite means one who is just eating and sleeping. One does not do any work. Like there are some chakras in India, where they give free food. And because they give free food and there is no work, people eat a lot of food and grow their tummy, with tummy and with sleep. And they become good for nothing fellows. That is why today in India, if you say, if you talk of Renan's daughter, people don't consider it a very enviable profession. Whenever you talk of, like when people come to know somebody has become a brahmachari in his camp, or somebody has left his home and become a sadhu, and many people come to meet parents and try to pacify them, don't worry, your son has gone like this, don't worry. Because they think generally, when somebody leaves the society and becomes a sadhu, they concoct many things. Some people think, probably this fellow must be a failure in life. Some people, when they came to know a John, they asked me, did you pass the MTech? I left on the general thing. I told him I left 2 years after that. And then some people say, oh, you passed that. What did you say that? What about your parents? Did they give you enough love? Or did they didn't give you enough love? People ask that. Or if they come to know that their parents are very loving, and they are so eager to serve us, and they have been very intimate with us. Then they ask us, do you face any failure in life? Some failure you must have faced. So people have so many things like that, concoction. When people think somebody has become a sadhu, it's unbelievable for them that one can take to this profession of becoming a sadhu. People cannot believe, how can one become a sadhu? Because today, the idea of people about becoming a sadhu has become like that. Sadhu means one who is a good for nothing fellow. One who is just eating and sleeping and some chakra. That's what it is meant for. So, the shastras don't become sadhu like that. In fact, the sadhus are supposed to be so busy that when Shukadeva Goswami, the first standard is explained, when he would go to the Grihastha's houses, he would stand at the doorstep of the Grihastha's house only for such length of time when they would milk the cow. Because they would milk the cow and get some milk for him. Only that much amount of time he would stay and give them some good teachings, enlighten them, and take milk, and then he would move to the next house like that. So he was such a busy teacher, even Shukadeva Goswami, he was coming in our line. Such a great acharya. So, this is what one should understand about the sadhu. What is the meaning of the sadhu? The sadhu means one who should contribute to society. On the other hand, the householders in society, they also have responsibilities given to them and due to them. So here, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Mamya Pantava Tashvatya, Yupisya Vukpanta Yanaya, Sriya Vaishasya Tashvatras, Tuti Yanti Parangatam. He says, the Parangatam generally cannot be achieved by anybody. The Parangatam are the ultimate destination. If you see, you take Mayavadis, or you take Buddhists, or you take, there are other religions also, which lay a very strong rule that if one has to achieve the Parangatam, they have to be very staunch celibates. They have to be staunch celibates. Nashtri Brahmachari. Nashtri Brahmachari means one who maintains Brahmachari right from his birth up to the point of leaving his body. He's a Nashtri Brahmachari. So unless one is such a strong celibate, one cannot achieve perfection. This is the verdict of many of the different religions if you see. You see that why they said in this material world there are so many kinds of things which lead one to attachment. One becomes attached. There are many, many things that lead to attachment. Someone can say some examples. What are the things in this world that lead to attachment? Family. Us and them. Yes? Sense of? Sense objects. Examples. Or all of you are speaking very high from the theoretical subject, huh? Like me or not? Shaykh is going to say. Wealth. Very good. Wealth, yes? Ambition, okay. Yes. Body attachment, yes. Prestige, yes, prestige. Yes. Resignation, yes. Yeah, very good. Resignation is also there. Results of what we do, very good, yes. Many very good, so many systems, so many different things. Actually, all these things lead us to attachment in this world. That Kapila says in the third chapter, he says, although there are so many things in this world which lead us to attachment, there is nothing in this world which can lead us to as much attachment as one can have for a woman, says. The third chapter, he says. So he says the attachment between man and woman can lead one to the greatest attachment, and that will lead one to the greatest destruction in spiritual life. So that is why whenever you take any religious book, it condemns the illusory relationship, which leads to so-called enjoyment of this material world. But still, here in Bhagavad Gita, you find Krishna says, even if one is living in the midst of a family, with a wife and children and relatives, still Krishna says, even such a person is not barred from practicing pure devotional service and achieving the same paramgati. He says, Mami Bhakti Vipashita Yetisi Bhaktiyana Striyo Vaishya Tathashudra. Because if you say stri, generally women are considered to be not very inclined to hear Lata philosophy. They are more attracted to the pastimes. Our group is really very strange to them. They like philosophy also. Generally speaking, in the Shastras it is said that men are more inclined towards hearing philosophy. But the Shastras are filled with philosophy. So how can women hear such philosophy? It's very difficult for them. Now there is such a tree, such a woman, if she serves her husband, who is a pure devotee, she serves her husband very faithfully, and assists him in her service, then she also achieves the same destination as her husband. Wherever the husband goes, the woman also goes to the same destination. We have many examples in the Shastras of very great devotees of Krishna. Like we have the Kunti's teachings. So in Kunti's teachings, Prabhupada writes the purports how Kunti, although apparently she looked like an ordinary woman, she was a very, very great devotee of Krishna. She was even greater than the greatest of the transcendentalists who were Mayavadis and yogis, greatest of the yogis, because she understood the conclusion of the religion. Krishna is the supreme truth. And Vaishyas, generally Vaishyas, don't take the religion. So Vaishyas count the money. But they do Japa like this, Vaishyas do like this, other way. So they get opposite that, to chant. They never used to this. So Vaishyas also, they are money-minded, and they cannot chant the God's names. Very difficult for them. Money, that's the japa, they do japa of money. So generally they are not inclined. Only Kshatriyas and Brahmanas are little inclined to, easily inclined to religion like that. And Shudras, they never go to Gurukula at all. Because the training in the Gurukula is meant only for the Brahman, Kshatriya and Vaishya. Shudra, even if he is kept in the Gurukula, he will run away. He can't stay and adhere to the principles of the ashrama. That is not at all possible. Although Shudra was also coming there, one of the Varnas, they are also categorized number 4. Still, they are actually not fit candidates for living in a Gurukula, living in an ashrama, accept the principles of that. So Krishna here, which are interestingly, brings out that even such people can achieve the Paramgatam, he says. They belong to Paramgatam, he says. Then they can achieve the Paramgatam, he says. So that is the beauty. So even in Srimad Bhagavatam, you find something similar. Stane Sipashita Dhamma Sushrata. Dane Prayasam Adhapasanamanti Yoga. Nāne prayāsamata pāsyana mantayeva jīvanti sanmukaritam bhagadīya vārta stāne sutra śudhivatāṁ tanuvāṁ manobhe yūtta yaśo ajita jitokta sitashtu lokya. He says, yūtta yaśo ajita jitokta sitashtu lokya. Ajita is actually the unconquerable love. Unconquerable love can be conquered by one who is situating himself in whichever position he is, and sanmukaritam, he is very attentively hearing from great devotees of the Lord. And the executing devotional service. Jnane prayasam udapasya, he says, kicking away all different varieties of mental speculation. This one, Jnane prayasam, I think this comes from 10th chapter. Yes, 9th chapter. I will let it in. I am written actually. But this I learned this quote from CC actually. But this is coming in Bhagavatam only. And CC, Chaitamahaprabhu and Rama, they are discussing this. God comes there. Ah, there's the yeah. Dhāne prayāsam udapāsya nāntayo. The kick away all varieties of mental speculation. See, the greatest trouble for the living entity is mental speculation, which he continues to do life after life. But if somebody is favored by the Lord, they give up this kind of mental speculation. And they agree to hear from the mouth of devotees. Jīvam tisant mukaritam bhavadīya vārta. And then sthāne sthita. By being situated in that position. Tanu van manaha, they are three things he said, by body, by mind, and by words. They are fixing themselves in the Lord's devotion service. Tanu van manaha. beauty of Krishna consciousness, that anybody in any walk of life can practice this path of devotional service and can achieve the ultimate benefit. Now one may wonder, if achieving the paramrita is so difficult, how these people are given such benefit so easily, without much difficulty? How can these people get the benefit so easily, when the great transcendentalists are renouncing everything on the world and going to forest and doing other things and all? The reason is very simple. If you see, the other renunciates, like the Buddhists or the Mayavadis, the impersonalists, if you see, they say that one has to be a celibate, one has to give up all this time. The reason is that they are trying to become desireless. They are trying to empty the desires in their heart. The heart is filled with so many material desires, and they are trying to take out one by one by one all the desires. That's why we want to achieve nirvana, the state of desirelessness, with no material desires. Because material desire leads to death and death again. Like Buddha said, desire is the root cause of all evil. Okay, all misery. So they know this fact, that when you have a desire, it leads to misery. But in Krishna consciousness, the same thing is that we are rendered desireless when we replace our material desires with spiritual desires. That is the secret of Krishna consciousness. On one hand, there are so many material desires to be given up, that one can be in any ashrama or one can be in any order, but one is replacing the material desires with spiritual desires. That's how the material desires are kicked out immediately out of the heart. Anartho paramam saksha bhakti yogam adokshate lokasya ajanata vidvam chakra satra samvidam. He says, anartho paramam saksha, all the anartha can be kicked out of the heart. How? By bhakti yogam adokshate. By performing bhakti yoga to the transcendental supreme. That's how the anartha can be kicked out. Not by emptying the heart artificially. That won't last for a long time. Emptying the heart artificially is something like creating a vacuum. That's what Krishna is condemning renunciation here. If somebody is only renouncing the material world and does not know your alternative, this is like creating a vacuum. Like you have seen the bulbs, when you create a vacuum in the bulbs, what happens? When you just heat it slightly, it produces a big sound, listen, and it breaks into pieces. Similarly, a person who is creating a vacuum in the heart, he may be maintaining stability for some time, but every time his heart can be, his vacuum can be broken. Like we were discussing some weeks ago about how a yogi controls his senses. What is it like? Anybody remember? Yes? Yes, exactly. A yogi controlling the senses is like a hunter keeping an animal under captivation. It's like that. Because the animal can anytime escape from the rod in which he has tied him and he may attack him and kill him and go. Similarly, a yogi is artificially trying to control the senses and that way sustain himself. That won't last for a long time. But in Krishna consciousness, the best substitute is given. In fact, it is the same activity of the soul. That is pure devotion service. That is taught to the living beings. In fact, even the impersonalists will come to the same platform after performing the severe austerities. Because Krishna explains, when they reach the Brahma Bhuta stage, what happens to them? Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma Nachachati Rakamshati Sama Sarvesha Bhuteshu. Yeah. Then what he says? Matvartya Tadakyutara. That means he says, after so much of struggle and controlling their mind, senses, and they become completely purified of all material contaminations, at that point, Matvartya Tadakyutara says, my pure devotion service begins, he says. So what about us? Are we doing pure devotion service now? Then, are we? Are you doing pure devotion service or not?
No.
Very good, yes. Are you pure devotees?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Any other answer? So he says that the Brahma Buddha platform there, all your material desires are zero. There's no material desires. That means Anya Abhilajita Shanya. At that point he says, Matbhakti Labhadra. My bhakti begins to exercise. Are we all free from all material desires completely? Then Krishna says, where only bhakti begins? That means everything.
Doubt is like that.
Yes? Which is actually important. See, what we are doing is actually bhakti. What he is saying is also true in one sense. That we, instead of following the jnana mark and the yoga mark and all the different markas, different yogas, that is longer fail. We will fail from that standard. But we continue to do that again and again. Every morning we see the form of the Lord. And we try to take away your eyes from self-gratification. Keep on sadhana bhakti, correct? It is sadhana bhakti. It means there is vaidhi and radhanada. Keep on doing that. At one point of time, we become anya vilasita shunya. Taste the animal. Actually, Bhakti Yogi, yeah, in one sense it is true. What you are saying is true. Like the senses, our senses actually are belonging to Lord Rishikesha. The realization should come to us. When we realize that the senses belong to Rishikesha, all these things are his property, then if we are using them, we will ask permission from him. At the present moment, even a devotee may be cheated also by his senses. There is no wonder. A devotee may also fall down from his standards. But even if a devotee falls down, the beauty of a devotee is that he will fall down to the feet of Krishna only. So again, it can come up. If a devotee falls also, devotees are by nature very humble. Even if they fall down also, again they cry miserably that I have fallen down again. He can slowly, slowly drag and again he can elevate himself. But the problem of a yogi is that if he falls down, he becomes a top-notch materialist. Like we see in the case of Saubhari Rishi. Saubhari Rishi, when he fell down, what was his condition? He married so many daughters of the king, and they got so many children. He became very, very fallen after that. So, at least devotees are not so bad. Devotees, they fall. That's why Nagumi is asking, you know, what the question you asked? Yatrappa vabhatram bhutim shikyam kauvata artu abharitam Sudharmata has said. So, but devotees should always endeavor how to fall down. In the Nirvana stages, a devotee should also control his senses. And at the same time, engage the senses in Krishna service. Both you should do. So, from the start, from the platform of Brahma Bhutavi, begin to perform pure devotional service. But the advantage is that for all orders, Brahmacharya, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyas, in the part of devotional service, in this Karma Yoga, there are wonderful engagements we had, which is the greatest boon. When Prahlad Maharaj was, when Prahlad Maharaj's teachings were revealed by Narada Muni to Yudhishthira, Yudhishthira became very sad hearing the teachings of Vanaprastha, Sannyasi, what kind of strictness they should follow. If you read the seventh canto, you will be amazed. Of the strictness of the life of a vanaprastha and sannyasi. Then Yudhishthira asked Narada Muni, what about us? We are living in this age. Kali Yuga has just begun. So what about the people in Kali Yuga? How can they practice? Then Narada Muni tells about the path of ideal family life. There is a chapter in the 7th Kapashan of Bhagavata. He said, ideal family life, it's very wonderful teachings are given. He says the most important thing for a grihastha is deity worship at home. At home, one should worship deities. We should pray to the deities, dress the deities, offer bhoga to the deities, and offer prasad obeisances to the deities, send for the glorification of the deities, and engage one's children, one's relatives, one's wife, the service of the deities. Two things is there. One is the service to the Lord and service to the deities. In this way, the atmosphere was so auspicious, and everyone was completely absorbed in looking at the beautiful forms of the lodges. And when this was going on, when the procession was proceeding, at one end there was one tall man with a well-built body, and by his side there was a beautiful looking girl, and this man was holding an umbrella for her to prevent her from the hot sun. And on his right hand he was holding a fan with which he was moving it to and fro to prevent her from any discomfort that could be caused by the sun. On the opposite side, after taking bath from Kaveri River, Dhritaraj, or Ramanujacharya, he was returning back to the Ranganath temple. He was the greatest acharya of his times. And when he was coming, he was seeing that all people are so busy engaged in the Lord's service. Some people were talking among themselves jokingly about this man who was looking at the beauty of this woman and calming her. And when Dhritaraj and Ramanujacharya came, he turned to his disciple, and he told the Dashati, he called his disciple, and told them, "Look at this shameless man, calling here, often to meet me." Then Dashati, one of his most intimate disciples, he went to him, and he found it difficult to distract him from his busy serving of this girl. He was fanning her, and he was holding the umbrella for her. He was so completely immersed in looking at her beauty, and it took him a long time to shout loudly and catch his attention. And then he turned to him, "Please sir, tell me how can I serve you?" he asked. Very honestly. And then Dasharatha told him, "Do you know Yitraj, Ramanujacharya, who is standing on the other side? Look at him. He is a very great devotee of Lord Narayana. He wants to meet you personally and talk to you." Then this man told the priest that had come. Then he went and met Ramanujacharya. And he offered obeisance at his feet and stood up and asked him, "How can I serve you?" Then Ramanujacharya asked him, "Why are you so shamelessly and fearlessly and so boldly serving this woman in front of all the people? All the people are engaged in that service. How are you doing this?" And this man said, "Sir, in this world I have never seen such beautiful eyes as this woman is possessing. I have never seen such beautiful eyes. So I am so absorbed in looking at her beauty that I am completely oblivious to everything that is material, but I can't think of anything else. And I never bother about what others are going to say about me. Because I have seen different kinds of beauties in this world, but I have never seen beauty like this. So I am serving the beauty, what's wrong in that?" So he appeared to be very honest with me speaking. So Ramanuja told him, "Okay, if I show you the beauty which is greater than this beauty, will you leave this woman?" He asked. Then he said, "Why not? I can certainly do that. You show me a beauty better than this, then I will serve that lady who has a greater beautiful eyes." Then Ramanuja told him, "Okay, this evening you come to my ashram, I'll take you to your place." Then he came, in the evening it was in Tilam, and that evening he came, and his name was Dhanurdas, this man's name was Dhanurdas, and Ramanuja took him through all the gates of Ranganath temple, and he took him very close to the place of Santam Santaram, and he took him very close to the Lord's face. There are three doors there if you see in Ranganath temple. It's a very big form of Lord Vishnu lying, and like Ananta Sesha, lying like this. So he took him very close to the Lord. At that time, Pujari was offering ghee lamp to Lakshmiji, and he brought the ghee lamp very close to the Lord's face, and he was offering the ghee lamp to his face. At that time, Ramanuja told him to look at the form of the Lord. And when he saw, I don't know how many of you have seen, the Lord has very beautiful eyes to see in Ranganath temple. Everything is beautiful actually. His entire form is greatly beautiful. That deity was actually worshipped by Brahma himself, and later on it was given to Vibhishan. And now presently the deity is in Ranganath temple, is in Sri Ranga. So those you would... Yeah, exactly. That is the only deity. Only deity facing towards the south. Because he promised Vibhishan that I will be always looking at you. Don't worry by leaving me here. The Lord wanted to recite that, and he told him I will be always looking towards the south. Very, very attractive deities. So he looked at the form, and by the Actually, if anybody has a lusty look, if anybody wants to look lustily, his eyes are compared to the owl's eyes. Why? Why this example is appropriate? Owls are very, have a very sharp eyes in the night. So in sense gratification, eyes are very sharp. Very sharp eyes. Sense gratification. But in the daytime, owls are completely blind. They cannot see. What is that? They cannot see. After
and see the reaction.
how he behaves with respect. Now he's going to try that he has stolen all the ornaments of his wife. Then they all went behind the house and through the windows they were watching. How is he going to react? Then as soon as he came back home, he asked his wife, "Why do they say, Mama, only one side you are wearing the ornaments? What about the other side?" She said that, "Oh, my dear husband, don't you know, our Brahmanas, Vivek, Dhammacharis, they have become very poverty-stricken. Come to them, they must be even suffering without food and clothing. So now they just now came a few minutes ago and they have taken these ornaments. Actually, I wanted to offer them the other ornaments also. Because they may not be able to make it easily. I turned this side like this so that they can take away the other ornaments. But as soon as they turned, they ran away." Then hearing this, Dhananjaya said, "You foolish lady, you are so much bodily conscious," he shouted at her. He told her that, "You are thinking that these ornaments are yours. You are saying my ornaments. You are in passion, thinking that these ornaments are yours. Don't you know that all these ornaments belong to Lord Narayana? Because you thought that these ornaments are yours and because you are giving them these ornaments, that is why they are not stolen on the other side. Lord Narayana didn't give you the opportunity to render these brahmanas the service of giving all the ornaments. That was your mistake," he said. And she cried tears and she said, "Okay, henceforth I will try to come up with this illusion that these things are mine." So when all Ramanujan disciples heard this, silently they went back to ashram. And Ramanujan didn't tell them anything that night. And he got them all to sleep. And next morning in the class, he took a big class on this topic, on full Bhagavatam class. He gave on this topic. He told them, "What was the reaction? What did you see yesterday?" And he answered that, "That is his, one of the great devotees." He said, "And Ramanujan too. And what about all of you when you saw your devotees turn this way?" And then they all bowing their heads down in shame. And they had to accept. So this goes to show that the caste, creed, color, or the ashram, it hardly matters for a sincere devotee. Because a sincere devotee's sincerity shines beyond all these external coverings. Whether he is a grihastha, whether he is a brahmacharya, or vanaprastha, whether he is a brahmana, a kshatriya, the sincerity is the sincerity that is existing in the core can be said to be shining in the person's life. That is why anybody who becomes very mature in spiritual life can honor and respect all the vrindas and all the ashramas. Because throughout the scriptures you will find evidences of people coming from even Shudra caste. Udra was coming from Shudra family. But what type of devotee was he? If you read the Udra's teachings, you will be amazed in Srimad Bhagavatam. It's such teachings. So anybody belonging to any varna or ashrama can perform true devotion service to the highest degree, and he can please the Lord. Because the ultimate goal of life is to please Krishna. Varna ashrama, acharava, purushara, parakama. Ushtadara adhidapanta, nandu, tattosha, nandam, it is said. The purpose of varna ashrama is to ultimately please Krishna. It hardly matters whether you belong to which varna or which ashrama. So here Krishna is saying that instead of being a shobhati sadhu, shobhati spiritualist, or a cheater who are cheating the innocent public, it is better for one to perform a prescribed duty and perform this karma yoga by offering all one's fruits to Krishna. So this is important. So why sometimes the Grihastashrama is condemned in the scriptures? There is a Grihamedhi and a Grihastha. Grihamedhi is one who becomes very attached to family life. The scriptures give dangerous understanding. If you see the scriptures, they talk about the danger of entering the family life sometimes. Like Prabhupada says, Hitvapapatam Grihananda Kupam, he says. At Andakupam, he says, it's like a deep, dark well. Why? Because in a forest sometimes the wells become covered with grasses and the holes are not clearly manifest. And because pathway is also closed in the forest because of excess growing of the grasses. So the wells have become closed. But if someone is walking and he falls into the if some animal falls into the well, then he will have to keep crying all his life and he will not be able to come out of the well. He gets caught up in that. And in the forest, who goes in the forest? Will anyone go? Hardly people go to the forest. So he remains alone in that well and ultimately he dies. In the same way, it is said, if one enters into family life and husband and wife are determined to enjoy a family life by increasing their necessities, by increasing their daily necessities, like you can see many families of today, in father can't enter the child. The father go, they drive them away. At last, this is not your place. They don't want to hear from them. If a person is stooped in self-verification, how do you expect him to hear from a father? Well, you know that the father will ask me to start self-verification. So they will not follow. That is why it is called a Vandagumam. It's like a forest actually. Such a Vandagumam is a forest. So a person suffers, but somehow or other by the divine arrangement, in such a household that can come in contact with a pure devotee, and he has developed some affinity for him, or some attraction for him, he is considered very glorious or very fortunate. Because then he can come out of this kind of desperate situation. So, if one comes now to the Brahmadiyam Grahasthasram, then one should have the Grahasthasram. Grahasthasram is it's a house where the Lord is a center. Husband ever treats wife as an object of enjoyment. In fact, the husband knows not only my wife, my children, my wealth, my house, and all my knowledge, and my abilities, everything is a property of Krishna. He understands this. So he cooperates with his wife and children, and he gets the assistance of his wife in rendering devotional service. And he now becomes like that. Welcome. My children are probably like 10 children in his house. And he says, after I come back from my job, he was a high court magistrate. When he comes back in the evening, he finds all the children performing arati, chanting, dancing, playing, mridangam, playing katha. All children are engaged in such worship. He says, when I come back home, I see the Goloka is descending in my house, he said. Goloka has descended in my house, he said. That is a real house. Otherwise, sometimes you see houses become like hellish place. That the man wants to go to some park or some beach. Wants to escape from home. Some people work in the office too long, and they ask them, why do you work so long? Well, I'm afraid of going to house, they say. Isn't it? That is the condition in many houses. Because it's a house of passion, more of passion. They know that if they go home, they will have to have a fight with my wife, or fight with my children. Isn't it? Or then the wife will come with too many demands. Husband is afraid. And then he has to become a judge to make a settlement between his mother and his wife. Between the two. So many people don't like going home. So devotee's home should not be like that. Devotee's home should be like a Vaikuntha. The Lord is the center, and devotees come to chant like the Vedas of the Vedas. It's a very ideal example of a blessed house that you go to take it home and see how the devotees are worshipped. Such a fragrance and such cleanliness, such high degree of worship. So such houses can, such graces can not only flourish themselves, they can live just like sannyasis in the ashram. They can live a very good life. They can not only deliver themselves, they can deliver their wife, children. They can deliver. Besides that, they can even deliver some others. They can deliver some others in society. Prabhupada was also blessed like that. Prabhupada was blessed before. Later on he took sannyas at the right age, at the end of that. And he made, actually he sent three Grihasthas to London to serve a temple. Those Grihasthas were so sincere, so utterly sincere. They were sacrificing every moment of their life. And they only made this Bhakti Vedanta main at temple. They didn't make it actually, they got it in donation from George Harrison. George Harrison was a Beatles group singer, and these three Grihasthas were leading such a poverty-stricken life. They didn't have any money. They were just living on very poverty food every day. Very little food they used to eat. They used to suffer a lot. And they were trying to meet different people and preach and sing like that. And the joy also happened to be in the music field. So they went to him and they met him also and they invited him to meet that person, Master Prabhupada. And George Harrison became very attracted to this particular aspect of the moment, singing of Hare Krishna. So he agreed to sing from Hare Krishna and the Beatles in his guitar and song like that. And then later on, he met Prabhupada and Prabhupada gave him audience. He became very attracted to Prabhupada and the moment. And because of these three people, now he had the Bhakti and the Mela and Big Temple and Prabhupada gave them so much blessings. So, in that moment also, so many great devotees have introduced those who became so committed. In other moments, when people see it, they become amazed. How can they still be so committed? Husband and wife, working hard. Sometimes you see, husband, wife, children, father, mother, everyone is engaged in a family, completely wearing tilakas, wearing bead bags, husband wearing dhoti and kurta, going for preaching, wife serving in the temple. So, what Krishna talks here in this temple is coming that they can also do, this is done to the highest degree in ISKCON. In ISKCON, Prabhupada taught how to exemplify this shloka to the highest degree. So, if Brahmacharya said he would work 24 hours, Krishna is saying he would work 28 hours. are saying, such a person can, he says, is by far superior, he is saying. On the other hand, if a sincere person tries to control the active senses by the mind and begins karma yoga without attachment, he is by far superior, Krishna is saying. So the person is superior. Somebody else is going to perform that in construction, in architectural work, then garden, in so many things, They are talented in different fields like painting. They give all their time. In fact, their proper time, Prabhupada will push all the grandstands for publication. Even though the Chaitanya Sadhguru would like to come and sit a short hand. He was pushing them and they liked being pushed by Prabhupada. They worked very, very hard. And they got enormous mercy from Prabhupada. So, this is the perfection of Karma Yoga, offering one's whole existence and Krishna service to the best ability, to one's best ability. So, in whatever ashrama we are in, whatever one we are in, we should try to exemplify this Chakra. We should try to perform services to the best of our ability. Then such engagement with Krishna consciousness will save one from the onset of Maya. Otherwise, as much as freedom you have, that much you are giving room for Maya. As here I have some freedom, that means there is Maya there. If you have some freedom, there is time for Maya itself. If you say that in a day you have some freedom and you have nothing to do, that means you are giving the time for Maya. You are writing and giving, thus you can take this time. You know, I am free, please come and take it. Trouble me. You are inviting trouble. So you have to pack your schedule in such a way that there should be no room for Maya. That is the perfection of Karma Yoga. Of course, one should try to stretch his body to the best ability. One should take care of one's body, one's mind, and one's spiritual health. All these things. Under such engagement, one can become a perfect devotee. One need not go to the forest. One need not become a celibate. One need not become a strong yogi. One need not control the breath. One need not stand upside down, performing shirasasana. One need not submerge oneself in the river like Saubhari Rishi. We don't have to do all these things. Simply by engaging ourselves in such devotion service, we can achieve that paramgati. Hare Krishna. Any questions?
Yeah, so we can, so if you are
not take that it is meant for us, that it is meant for anybody. As if it is, when we also condemn Brahmacharya, it is also like that. If somebody is not of the standard, we condemn them also. The same way sometimes in lectures and I say, Grihastha, who are the Grihastha family, like that thing. I think that devotees basically, but they are doing some ritualistic worship with a superficial understanding, but at the same time they are very, very attached to worldly life. It is that. We can see practically there are many places. In fact, those are devotees, they even become initiated. There are people who go to the mount of initiation. 16 knots, we don't know, God knows how they do 16 knots. They finish it. Some or other. But then they maintain 20 knots for the world of life. There are people like that. So we don't need to quote examples, but we will practically see. Even in our moment, you will see. And then they say they chant 16 knots, but very horribly at their drops. At the poorly at their drops. And some of the finish the 16 knots, talking with people and chatting with people, they don't chant, they chat. Some of them finished up, and then they are so much attached to worldly life. They are into business, they are into, based on preserve talk, and they are not very much interested in devotional life. They are also going to suggest that because they are maintaining the standards of initially devotee. But then they are falling from the standard also at the same time. So we may use the word Grihastha to talk about such devotees also. So we have to try to follow the standard of ideal Grihastha, who is following the standard very strictly. Right? Yeah. Oh, that's right. Of course, Buddha is an incarnation of Krishna himself, but he rejected the Vedas purposefully. Because at that time, that was the most appropriate thing to do. At that time, people were so fallen, the Brahmanas were misusing the Shastras, saying that the Shastras allow meditating. So that's why Buddha came to reject the Vedas. But he is the incarnation of Krishna, yes. Yes, at that particular time, there was the most suitable. So I get it. Oh, Buddhists, actually, Buddhists call Shunyava, and Mayavadis are called as, Mayavadis are actually covered Shunyava, it is said. Mayavadis are covered right to Buddhism, huh? Because the Shunyava means they consider everything Shunya. That means the Nirvana they say, no? The Nirvana they achieve. See, Mayavadis, Buddhists, they don't talk about the soul. They say the body is created now, it is destroyed. Again it is recreated, and then it is destroyed. Again it is recreated. They say this process is going on until one achieves nirvana. But who is that one that is not taking its life? So they say, you you have this body only, but then you are becoming elements, material elements. Again you are reconstructed. Again you are becoming elements. That's what they are saying. At one point of time when you become desireless, you achieve nirvana. And then you become shunya. This is the philosophy. And Mayavadis are impersonalist. They call the form of the Lord to be Maya. They say the form of Krishna, Rama, all these things. This is Maya, like our body is Maya, no? They say Lord's form also is like Maya, made of flesh and bones. And then actually within the Lord the Brahman is existing. And the Brahman only is Satya. And the Jagat is Mithya. This is their philosophy. So we condemn the philosophy because the Lord's form is not Maya. The Lord's form is actually Satchitananda. The Lord's body, the Krishna and his body are non-different. But the Maya is like Krishna, his body is different, like yours and mine. That's what we got now. Yes? Vishnu. Sacrifice performed with Brahmanas is also meant for Vishnu. So Yajna means Janda Vishnu.